Welcome to Entrepreneur Eats, a conversation about business and community with a side of eats. My name is Deanna Smith, and I'm your host. I'm Deanna Smith, and I'm your host on Entrepreneur Eats, and I have been waiting for this interview for several weeks now. When I heard the ideas that were coming out of these brains, I had to talk to Isaac, James, and Luke. I needed to know more. So who was the brains behind the receptacle cleaning services?
I would say James kind of started the process.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say, so I'd heard of my friends starting trash can washing businesses. Not exactly businesses, but they were going around washing trash cans to make some money. And I thought, oh, that'd be cool to do. So I got my dad's friend's pressure washer, and I invited Luke over, and we started that. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I got Isaac to join us, and we just went around my neighborhood, like, offering people to wash their trash cans.
Wow. That is a very unique offer, because, I mean, first of all, who thinks to even wash a trash can, right?
Yeah.
How did you come up with this idea?
So, first of all, I started off with our, like, compost, which got pretty nasty, and my dad wanted me to do it first off. So that's why we had the pressure washer at our house.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did it with ours, and our neighbors saw, and they asked me to wash their trash cans as well, and I got some money from that, so I thought it'd be a good idea. That was another reason why we would start washing trash cans.
Okay, so you started at home, meaning, like, your dad said, hey, this is really gross, can you come and clean it out?
Yeah.
Did he pay you, or was it just, like, one of your chores?
Well, it was kind of just one of my chores at first.
Yeah,
I got paid $20 by my dad to just wash out all of our trash cans, which was, like, 4 at the time in my old neighborhood. And I was like, oh, this can actually make some money. So I knocked on my neighbor's door. I was like, hey, I'm doing this and that. Would it be okay if I washed your trash can? And they're like, yeah, sure. And I made $40 in like 2 hours, and that was pretty good.
Except you did not have a pressure washer, so you were
using,
like,
I was hand scrubbing them, which
more
time.
Did you put on like a hazmat suit? Because that could be so gross.
No, I was just wearing the worst clothes I had.
You told me you had to fish out like a diaper.
Oh no.
Oh, wow. I'm pretty new to this, so I don't have much experience, not near these two, but again, I'm just trying to grow the business, expand, and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. So how many trash cans have you washed yourself, Isaac?
I would say individually, maybe 3 or 4, and then collectively as a group with these two individuals, maybe 10, 15 now?
I don't know.
Maybe
it's
more?
I don't really keep count.
Yeah. I think I did 20 in total.
Yeah.
10 in my old neighborhood and 10. Yeah.
That's a lot of washing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So was the diaper the grossest thing you have found or had to deal with so far?
There's a lot of spiders. And I don't love spiders.
Yes. Many people are afraid of those tiny little creatures.
Yeah.
Did you approach Isaac and Luke about this venture?
No, it was more... So it was more Luke who came to me about this idea after I told him I had a pressure washer. And then we were surfing one day, and we were at the camp store after getting some, like, snacks, and we were talking about it, washing it that day, and we decided to invite Isaac. And once we did that, it was, like, way easier with 3 people to get the trash cans, because we bring the trash cans to our house to wash them and bring them back. So it was a much easier process with 3 people.
Okay, so you would literally have to stay in your neighborhood because you're wheeling these trash cans down the street to your house.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. And so I'm assuming that all 3 of you live in the same neighborhood?
Pretty close. Luke e-bikes to James's house, which is a few miles away, and then I live maybe a mile inland from James, so
mm-hmm.
Not too bad.
Yeah. Okay. When you first started washing these trash cans, did it take you a long time by hand?
Yeah, it took like 2.5 hours to do 4.
Okay, and you just had your garden hose and...
Yeah,
scrubber?
I just got a bucket and just put everything I had in there, some dish soap or something.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really know what to do.
So, did you have to climb inside of it? I mean, they're
yeah.
so clunky.
When you have the hand scrubber, yeah, I would climb inside of every trash can.
Yeah, because otherwise you'd be like upside down with your head at the bottom, right? That would be dangerous.
We also sometimes have them fish out the trash that we don't want to get in other people's trash cans. When we get them, there's sometimes stuff in there. So Luke's the one to get it for us.
Yeah, the height helps.
Because I have longer arms.
So you're the tall guy.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's very handy. So you start off just scrubbing them by hand, and you're inside these trash cans, and it's stinky and gross. Tell me, what came next?
So you, I think you saw like a video or something about pressure washers, and we were thinking of investing in buying one, but then I talked to my dad about it. He said that our friend would have one, so we just borrowed it and brought it to our house, and that's kind of how we started it. But yeah, we first started just scrubbing it with our hands, and that was kind of inefficient, and it was also very gross.
How long did it take you to evolve from hand scrubbing to the power washer?
I think...
two or three times. Like, yeah. I didn't do it that much hand scrubbing it because it was super inefficient, but the second I realized that he already had a pressure washer, it was really simple.
So how long does it take you with the pressure washer now that it's super fast?
Per can, maybe 7 or 8 minutes. I mean, drying time is much longer, but 7 or 8 minutes, you just douse it in some soap and then wash all the crevices and inside the can, and then wheel it out to the curb, take excess trash out.
You have to dump it out, sometimes you have to go back again.
Multiple times, sometimes. But yeah, I would say most of the time, less than 10 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, and getting the trash can was also a big part, so me and Isaac would go knock on the people's doors, do the full sales pitch and everything, and then we'd bring them back to James. James would wash them, and if we had too many, we'd all wash them, and if we didn't have enough, me and Isaac would go and keep on getting more people.
Yeah, it was a cycle. Yeah, definitely. Rotations.
Okay. So, let's hear your pitch.
Yeah, we're a business that washes trash cans, and we'd really like to help you and clean out your trash cans, and we were wondering if you'd be able to do that now, or if we could come back later, and what your schedule is.
Okay. If somebody says, oh, I'm so sorry, you know, I gotta go off to work, this isn't a good time, can you come back later?
Yeah, usually we can. It depends on what our schedule is, as, you know, friends and being in school and different things, but generally we could do that, I would say.
Okay. And then is this like a Sunday, Saturday situation, after school situation?
It started off for me anyway. We had half days a few weeks ago for, I want to say, some sort of faculty meeting. But started off in a half day. And since then, yeah, maybe weekends work. And then we just kind of fit it in where it fits.
Yeah, also our school gets like a lot of like random days off for like random holidays.
Yeah.
And those are like great times for us.
Okay, that's very cool. And so how often do the residents need their trash cans cleaned?
So this is, I'm in a relatively small neighborhood, so we don't have a lot of, like, consumers, but typically, we've only ever washed the same person's trash cans, like, I think twice or maybe three times, and it's, like, once every, maybe, month, but it kind of just depends. We haven't washed a lot of the same people's trash cans multiple times.
Do you think that you could make a real business out of something like this?
I think it's scalable for sure. We'd have to invest more money in a larger pressure washer. That's a major step. Also, finding new neighborhoods, because there's not a whole lot of opportunity in smaller neighborhoods where we live. But it is scalable, definitely.
Well, I hope so. This sounds like a great opportunity to make some money. And you guys are just 13, 14, around there?
Yeah.
And you have these big ideas and plans for the future. It's very impressive.
If we do this and we make a certain amount of money, then we can expand and maybe work on a bigger idea that's less of a service and maybe more of a business. We could still do a service, but if we reinvest the money that we can make more money, and then we do that again and then again.
Yeah, that's the whole idea, right? Okay, guys, so you're making all this money, and you're working together sometimes, not together. How do you decide what to do with the money and who gets how much?
Right now, it's completely even three ways. I would say it's pretty much even as well in amount of effort put in, so we split it that way. And then as far as the profits, mainly we're just focusing on reinvesting the company and trying to build it out.
Yeah, we split it three ways, and then if we're going to start a new company, we're going to invest it three ways, and we're all going to put an equal amount into it.
I mean, it's working too. So far, there's been like no disagreements about how the money's split. And I guess it's because we're a team, so we all work together, even if we're not all there.
Yeah, that's so important, working together as a team and trusting each other and picking up the slack when, you know, people, not everyone is around. So it's a big deal. You guys have signed up to do some amazing things together, and I can't wait to see what else comes of your partnership. So what is your goal, immediate goal, to, like, you have to get a certain amount of customers? What's your goal before you move to the next step?
$5,000.
It's definitely possible over enough times. I would say, first of all, maybe a few hundred, just so we can get a larger pressure washer and have maybe one or two people on certain days, all three on certain days. We can alternate. Once we're in that place, then we can maybe set larger goals. But I think in the immediate future, that's the most realistic.
So if you wanted to go to other neighborhoods, would you be like cruising around with your pressure washer down the street? Or
it's
yeah, you can plug it into a hose.
I don't know if people would want us to use their water, but that'd kind of be the only way that we could actually clean out their trash cans. We'd just be going door to door in... Yeah, there's a few larger neighborhoods around us, so I think it'd be possible.
Aside from the trash can washing, what other great ideas do you have in the works?
I thought of an idea of making a somewhat portable bike shop just for tube repairs, because I popped my front tire in my tube. My dad had to load into the car, take it to the bike shop, and then wait 2 days for it, and then he'd have to drive me there, pick it up. And I was like, it'd be so much easier if we could just pay someone like a little bit more and they just come here and they'd fix it for us.
Wow, that's a great idea too.
We've had a lot of trial and error actually too in businesses, Luke and I especially.
Yeah.
We were thinking about a e-bike limiter app for parents and guardians. That didn't work really well because of GPS licensing, but then we transitioned towards potentially biodegradable and eco-friendly rubber bands.
For your braces.
For braces. But again, due to manufacturing issues, we kind of put that off, but we've had a few ideas.
We've kind of gone from fixing like really big things, which we realized is really hard with not enough capital and when you're kids, to more like services and tangible things.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, I hope that being on this podcast can help you guys get the word out that maybe you want some guidance or mentors or even... investors, possibly.
Yeah, for sure.
That'd be super cool.
Yeah.
So what about you, James? How did you get such a big brain and all these ideas?
I mean, it kind of just came to me. Like, a lot of my friends, like, when I'm surfing, like, some of them talk to me about what they're doing and how they made money to buy this and buy that. And I didn't really have to do much about it. It was kind of my dad who also got the pressure washer, my dad who introduced me to, like, how to do it. It was kind of, like, given to me, and I'm just thankful for that.
So how much support have your parents given you in all of these adventures and ventures?
My dad kind of told me how it's possible and how it's not possible, and that kind of made everything more real. So it's really hard to start an app or something. So my dad would come to you, he's like, Facebook is just an app where you text people, but they have millions of people who work there. So it's really hard to start just something as simple as that.
So helping getting all of the information to you is a big deal. That way you're not really, you know, wasting time or kind of just like a fast track to information. Being that you're so young and... have all these great ideas, it's very, very helpful to have somebody guide you. Sounds like your parents are doing a great job.
Yeah.
Both our parents are entrepreneurs and own their own businesses.
And what do your parents do?
They're both ER doctors.
ER doctors?
Yeah.
Wow.
So if we ever get injured doing something, we're good.
Washing trash cans.
Yeah.
And I understand you speak another language.
I speak a little bit of Chinese.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I lived there for 10 years.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, in Hong Kong, which was really changed everything when I moved to the U.S. And then when I applied to the school that we're all at, I was really late for the application, but we shared our story and we got into the school. And I'm so happy I met all my great friends.
Me and Luke originally met from Minecraft. We both played Minecraft a lot, so that's how kind of how we became friends.
What about you? Tell me about you.
Yeah, I've always kind of had an interest in the sciences, especially. Going to the school, I've kind of focused on that. But again, I've sort of broadened my, I guess, views and broaden my interests beyond just that and then into this sort of realm of entrepreneurship. And that's really exciting for me, and to be able to share that with is pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm. So do you guys think that entrepreneurs are born into this situation, or are they created?
I think they're kind of created in a sense. I don't think, I mean, there is some sort of innate desire to want to go out and do this, but I think it's cultivated throughout your life, and it's something that's, you know, sort of brought out, and I think this has kind of done that for all of us.
Yeah, because, like, when before we had done any of this, I had, like, no interest. I kind of just, I played video games, I played sports, and that's kind of all I did. But once Luke and Isaac introduced me into this, I'm kind of, like, invested in it, and I find it, like, fun. And
so it's very inspiring when you are hanging out with people and they've got all these ideas flowing, and I'm sure you bounced off ideas off of each other,
mm-hmm.
and that's in itself and wakes up your brain and is inspiring.
I think everyone can come up with an idea, like the greatest idea ever, but barely anyone is able to actually pursue that idea and go out and work and give a sales pitch and do A, B, and C.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are any of you guys kind of shy?
I wouldn't really say so. Speaking. No.
Okay. So it takes someone that's not shy to really get into entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say?
Well, yeah.
Not, it's not necessarily shy. You just got to act confident. And
mm-hmm.
I guess you could put on kind of like a mask or facade, and people will kind of buy into that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To own a business, you don't necessarily have to go out and talk to people about it. You can do many things online. But I think that being able to have conversations and give a sales pitch is also really important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, along with like being able to negotiate, that's very important too.
So tell me about where you think your negotiation skills came from. Was that like, come on, Mom, can I go ride my bike, or can I have a cookie? Is that just something we naturally do as we grow up, or do you think otherwise?
Well, I was always interested in sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a big event where you could go and you could go negotiate and talk to people and like try to get the price down. And my dad was like, if you want to actually turn this into a business and make, because I did, and make money with it, do 100 hours of watching videos of how to do this, this, and that about like negotiation skills and everything. And it was really hard, but I've probably watched like 10 hours of videos on it. Yeah.
On negotiating?
Yeah. And just all the skills you need for that.
How about you, James?
I don't really negotiate. I don't exactly like it. Luke kind of does that for us.
He's a surfer. He's going with the flow, you know.
Okay. And Isaac?
Yeah, for me, I wouldn't say I've had a whole lot of experience negotiating per se, aside with Luke for this company, but I would definitely say that in school and in debates, I was in Model UN briefly. I am the middle school president, so I've had opportunities to debate. I've had opportunities to be in sort of a conference setting multiple times, so I've really enjoyed that, and I think I've expanded my abilities in that sort of field.
Mm-hmm. Very clear. You guys all have your own special talents that you bring to your little corporation, I guess. Are you official, or are you guys just kind of hanging out doing this?
I wouldn't say we're quite official yet. We're getting there.
We're trying.
Yeah.
Okay. What is the next step to make you official?
Social media,
mm-hmm.
for the bike tire thing. I think we've moved on a little bit to that, and we won't, not fully, but somewhat. And the problem with social media is parents don't take just getting Instagram lightly. It's a whole process. They want to have parental controls.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to find some time where I can talk to my parents about it.
Yeah.
Well, they just want to keep you safe.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure. You guys are all buddies, and you are doing amazing and impressive things at such a young age. What would you say to other kids who are listening to you and they want to do something cool and they've got all these ideas? What are the first steps that you take?
As I said earlier, anyone can think of the lemonade stand before anyone else does, but not everyone's going to go out and do a lemonade stand if that's what kids are going to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an idea and you're a kid, you should really pursue it and continue with it and actually go out and do it.
Yeah, I would say, and even if that's not even possible for you, just really try and invest yourself. That's very important, and make sure you have some sort of dedication to your craft, whatever that may be.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't get it off the ground, then you know you've learned something from that, and you can use your knowledge from that, and Luke's talked about this too, to build a new company, to work on a new idea and workshop it.
Yeah, and although some people aren't as fortunate as others, so it might be like harder to get something started, as long as you keep trying and keep like reworking, keep redesigning, you'll get somewhere.
Yes, you just don't give up. Keep going, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The beautiful thing about now, this day and age, is we have the internet, and we can Google just about anything, and we can learn all kinds of things on YouTube. So, great tool. It sounds like you guys need to make yourself an enterprise of Isaac, James, and Luke, and some kind of a combination of those names all squished together.
Yeah, maybe.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. What would that be?
I don't know. I mean,
that's for you to decide.
Yeah.
So guys, when you have a ton of ideas, how do you decide which ones to put into play?
I think we start off taking it as seriously as we can. We research it. We see what maybe we could do, what the market's like for the product, if it's a product or the service. And then we see what the competition's like, and we see how we could really enact this and how we might be able to go forward. And if there's no real way or if there's a major obstacle, then we put it aside and we move to something else. But if it seems doable and it seems like something we could pursue realistically, then we go for it.
Very cool. How many of these ideas have you already thrown out the window?
3, 4, 5 maybe?
Yeah, definitely. So many. We've had so many business ideas and just realize this isn't possible, but we're going to use everything we've learned from failing and we're going to turn it into success.
Mm-hmm. So now that you mentioned failing, I believe, and I hope that you do too, failing is almost as important as succeeding.
That's why we're doing all this, you know. We're spending all this time and we're learning, and every single time that this happens, every single time that we fail, we're going to do another idea. We're going to, based on what happens, creating the new idea.
We're going to change something.
Yeah, we're going to change something about it.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Things are constantly evolving and improving, and it's great that you have that vision, and it's on your list of things to do. All right, guys, tell me the funniest story that you have in cleaning trash cans.
Okay, so I think, I don't remember, but it was one of our neighbor's trash cans who we got, and we brought it over, and there was, like, this, I'm pretty sure it was, like, okay, so there was dog diapers, I think, or maybe cat diapers. There was, like, 5 or 6 of them that also, like, pads that go on the ground. We had them for, I had them for my Frenchies. There was a bunch of those in there. So what we do is we put them into my trash cans. We do it at my house. So Luke was the one who was getting them.
I have the long arms.
So he was getting them, and then, like, he, like, dropped them. He had to pick them up again, and they were all, like, so, they were, like, wet. They smelled terrible. It was just really funny watching him do it.
Yeah, that sounds like torture.
Yeah.
Fun to watch, though.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a moment where, like, oh, gosh, this is so bad. I don't want to do this anymore.
I don't think we've really had a moment like that. There's been frustration, for sure, in realizing that maybe what we're thinking of or what we once thought was a great idea might not be possible. But I don't think we've really got to a point where we've been that aggravated yet.
Because it's fun doing anything with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we haven't been, like, doing this for a very long time, so there hasn't been many areas or times that we would be able to fail, because we haven't been really been out there. We haven't had that much experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, it's fairly new.
Yeah.
How new is it? Like, have you been doing this, like, a couple of months or half a year?
We haven't been super consistent. There's definitely been some breaks, but we originally started, we probably started washing trash cans like maybe
2 or 3 years ago,
but really we haven't been consistent.
Well, you know, you are 13 years old,
yeah,
right? And you like to play video games, and you actually
sports.
Have to go to school.
Yeah, like extracurriculars.
Yeah, so you have a life going on. So that's normal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's still very impressive. You're going to be very inspiring to a lot of people. So thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for having us.
I can't wait to see what you do in the future. I hope you're regular guests.
Yeah, hope so.
Yeah. Thank you.